Ladies and gentlemen, welcome this time to Kayak Mainline Podcast. My name is Kelly Blades, and as always, with me is...
David Johnston.
And here we are again, mixing misery and gin. It has been... It's a crazy whirlwind cavalcade tour of this 2 weeks that we've actually spent not recording. Now, you may wonder, David, what our recording schedule is normally. And for those of you who have been paying attention, playing the home game, you realize that this is a rarity for us. We're actually, you know, 2 weeks after the last podcast, we are podcasting again.
That's because we're on fire.
We are. Un fuego. That's about as German as I get. I know it's not.
I'm not a very, very nice.
David, how are you, sir?
I'm doing all right. What have you been doing?
Oh, I have been, it's here in the United States. It's Labor Day weekend, yeah. Which, you know, it's sort of a misnomer because you don't actually labor.
No. And I am currently not in labor.
Oh, well, that's good. Because you know what I always say, no deaths, no births on this podcast. Unless, of course, you're doing something at home and my dulcet tones inspire you.
That's why this is an audio podcast, not video.
That's right. Because I don't know about you, but I'm sitting with a tuxedo on.
Yeah, okay.
And what are you wearing?
No, what have I got? I just got an old t-shirt. It's about 155 degrees here.
You know, it's funny because it's 90, literally 90 degrees here. Okay. And that ain't no joke. And the humidity is about 172% humidity, I think. The sky, it's actually not raining outside. It's actually just weeping for the future. It has been very warm over this Labor Day weekend. And, you know, we haven't done anything. We literally kind of hung out and we were going to do some paddling this weekend. That kind of fell through. And we were going to do some other paddling and that kind of fell through. So we kind of just hung out this weekend. So we didn't do any laboring.
Well, that's okay. Yeah. Well, we didn't do much. We just visited family. I've hardly paddled at all over the last 2 weeks. But then, you know, the last couple days, because it's been so hot, we go outside with the little puppy dog and, you know, so she can go pee. Right. And she's all excited until we open the condo door and she steps out and she's like, ugh.
Now, she's a long-haired little demon, as I remember.
No, you probably saw her in a hobo stage, but she's normally short-haired puppy.
You have this fascination for the hobos. You love the hobos. Your dog is a hobo. Your dog actually lives in a condo in, like, midtown Toronto.
Yeah, downtown.
Downtown, not midtown. Oh, my God. I didn't know there was a difference.
Oh, there's a huge difference. No, and we're on the eighth story, so it's not like you can just, you know, throw her out on a long leash or something.
But I do want
to take her all the way down.
I do want to believe you have a veranda.
No, we do. You have a veranda? Yeah, but, well, no, we have a little patio.
What do you call those? What do you call it? Patio?
Yep.
Can you start calling it a veranda?
Well, doesn't a veranda have a roof on it?
I don't know. I'm making words up. I could have honestly thought that a veranda was sort of a glaze encrusted burrito.
We could do that
because they sound delicious.
Yeah, but you still got to take the dog out anyway. So we're always going down the eighth floor, and our dog has a bladder about 15 minutes. She's like, "All right, let's do this again."
So I can imagine that you would put your dog in undergarments. Because that sounds delightful to me.
So I got some news.
No, we're going to jump right into it, are we?
It's time for the Kayak Mainline News. Yes, your source for news all over the world, down the street or just outside your door.
Yeah. All right. Yep. Hit me with a big daddy.
We got some good. I heard some feedback from mainly Ray, who was complaining.
Damn,
we talked
Ray.
About Ray last week. Last episode, this is episode 16, just for people to know. Last episode 15, he was complaining, two pieces of feedback he gave me. The first one, that where was episode 14 when I announced it as 15? Mm-hmm. So episode 14 actually doesn't exist. That's the mystery episode. But anyways, then he's like, you have news, but you don't actually talk about Kat.
The thing about episode 14. We actually made an episode 14. It was confiscated by the government. We talked about the dark arts. We talked about them. We talked about black magic, and that was the problem. We talked about black magic and UFOs. Mm-hmm. And the government now has that. So, Ray, there is actually an episode 14. No one can hear it.
I know.
We've done been censured.
So, anyways, he was complaining that there wasn't enough Kayak News, and I told him first to shut up, and then B, that there wasn't any... news to make fun of to start now, with. But now we got some good
because
news.
We're trying to promote Ray as sort of a superhero from the hinterlands. Did he when you looked him dead in the eye? First of all, did you feel a little pee come out? And secondly, did he threaten to call down lightning from the heavens to smite you?
He doesn't have to. He's just so beautiful.
He is. We have very, very different opinions of Ray.
So anyways, I dug deep. Actually, I didn't have to because sometimes I look for news and there's not a lot of really good news. And sometimes there's just tons. And this time I actually had to dump a couple news.
Really?
Which would Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, bring it on.
Well, we got our first news story.
Okay.
And it's about Canadian deported last year just can't stay away. That's the headline piece. So it's a guy who keeps crossing the border by kayak and keeps getting caught for trying to enter the U.S. of A. illegally.
So we're kicking a dude out, and I speak for obviously all of the United States right now. We're kicking a Canadian out for paddling across.
Yeah. So he was first caught. He's crossed a couple times, but his first time in a kayak was last year. He was crossing the Detroit River.
Oh no!
And he just happened to be on the U.S. of A. side of the Detroit River, in which case he was standing peeing and told, and when the U.S. border agents found him, what are you doing? That's what he was telling them. He was across the border. So anyways, they charged him with crossing the border due to his extensive criminal record at the time.
Okay, hold on. Back up. Take a step back, Jack. So the dude, now, I live here. I live here in Detroit. Yep. I know how wide the Detroit River is.
Yep.
This guy, A, couldn't hold it, or B, he decided to paddle across just to urinate on the great United States of America. I think I take umbrage. At no point, my Canadian listeners, would I ever decide to cut across to Windsor just to pee on the shores and then come back. That seems a little disrespectful.
He was where was he? He was in an inflatable blue kayak. Okay, so let's deal with that in a bit. But he was within the restricted area along the river near Detroit's Fort Wayne.
Oh, you don't mess around there. First of all, what kind of moron goes across there? That is not an area you want to park your boat.
No, what's it like? I've never been
there. Oh, it's – think about you know those pictures that you see from it's a demilitarized zone is what it is. Really.
Oh, really?
There's a whole bunch of abandoned, burnt-out buildings and things. It's just not pretty.
Okay.
The fort is cool. But you don't want to put that. That shows a classic misunderstanding of where you need to go in Detroit, my friend. Like I could see him paddling to Midtown to go into the Rensen and having a nice dinner at the top or something. Maybe go into the Fox and seeing a show. But no, do not go down there. That is not a good idea.
Okay.
And an inflatable boat. All right. Okay. We'll go back to that part in a minute.
Yeah, inflatable. So this time, anyways, he was caught a second time. And
was there urine involved?
No, this time he was actually, by the time he crossed, but it was a couple days later that they caught up with him. He was actually he was painting a hotel at the time. So it really, you know, somehow he found work at the, what's the name of the hotel? The Fortain Motel, which is the $12.50 an hour motel in Detroit. But he was painting the outside.
This guy is industrious. So hold on. So this changes the dynamic almost completely, 100%. He's a hobo is what he is. He's paddling across in a little inflatable boat. First time he publicly urinates on the United States. Okay, it's Detroit. A lot of people do it. What are you going to do?
Yeah, okay. Yeah, it's a national sport.
But then
of Detroit.
It is actually that, and you know, crack and shooting. But that's not enough for him. He comes across again, and the authorities are looking for him for days.
Yeah.
Like we have unsolved murders here. Like just people getting shot willy-nilly and the cops are like, I don't know. Good about anybody.
I don't know. Let's find this guy.
Let's blame Toledo. But this guy they will track down with a rough familiarity. I can see them having like something out of Oh Brother, Where Art Thou, where there's dogs and the man with no eyes and they're chasing. And where do they find him? Gainfully employed.
Yeah, and he was at the top of a ladder at the same time, painting a wall.
That's where they found him.
Dusty Rose.
Okay, fair enough. So he's now is he tagging the place? Is he doing graffiti or
No, he actually had a paid job for the day. Okay. What did they say? I'm presuming the owner of the motel, $12.50 an hour motel.
Sure.
They paid him to do it. Anyways, things looked, somebody was suspicious about the whole thing. They made the connection. Case closed. Yeah.
So he's sitting, in my opinion, he's sitting sort of 1940s style Dust Bowl, and he wakes up of a morning, and he tells the wife and kids, "Well, I'm not going to find any work in Canada today. I'm going to take the old inflatable across the Big Dirty. That's what I'm going to call the river, the Big Dirty, and see if I can find me some work in the States."
They pray for me, children.
Pray for me. And they pack him a big metal lunchbox. They send him out. And, you know, just as he's walking away, the son runs up with pants that are short in the knee and a big wide brim hat and says, "Pa, can I take the .22 out to shoot me some rabbits?"
I'm sure this is a total audio reenactment.
Cut to him sitting in front of a whore's paradise at $12.50 an hour. Some guy's chain smoking, balding, and going, "Yeah, get up on that ladder. You go ahead." I guess it's got to be someone with a thick accent somewhere. I don't know. That's a really good story. Now he's in a blue inflatable boat.
Kayak.
Kayak. Yeah.
Inflatable to start with. The article does not say what brand. So we can only. There's 100 of them. I don't know.
You know what? It's got to be. It's probably got to be a valley boat.
Probably.
It's going to be
probably inflatable. I'm surprised it stayed afloat the whole time.
Yeah, I would imagine. Well, that's no joke. I mean, it's not a terribly busy river. Like, I've been in the Hudson River, and that place, if you want to cross from Statue of Liberty over to Manhattan in the Hudson, okay, you know, you're pretty much signing your death warrant. You know?
Really?
Oh, yeah, it's horrible.
Like boats everywhere.
Boats everywhere, dead bodies, drugs, nice, you know, all kinds of things, UFOs, everything you can imagine. And the waves are really confused there. And you know, you got the current, you've got the tide and whatnot. So it's pretty dicey. But the Detroit River just has a little bit of current. And unless there's some big boats coming through, it's not a huge deal to cross.
Right. Right.
So, yeah. I don't know. This sounds hokey. You could probably make it pretty easily in a little blue valley inflatable boat.
Yeah.
I have never been, honestly, I've never been bothered at the border paddling in the Detroit River. I have been rousted in Chicago.
Yeah, okay.
Toronto, no, they're very polite. I don't think you'd ever see them. But there's really no place you can't go in Toronto. And I guess unless you get to closer to the airport, right? They'd probably give you a little bit of grief or not.
Yeah, that's the only place where we get, which is too bad because it's one of the better places to paddle is in the restricted area around the harbor. For people who don't know, there's a small craft or small airplane landing, like prop planes, things like that.
Yeah.
So yeah, but in the restricted zone, that's pretty close to the runway. Yeah, it's great paddling on rough days. So we've had a couple times where the old security guards come waddling down. "Hey, you kids, get out of here."
Yeah, they got a cane.
Oh, yeah.
See,
yeah. Now, but I figure there's a lot of water between me and the security guard. They're not coming
out. No, I can't imagine they're even going to get their feet wet. There you go. You know, good for him. And yet, if you're listening, if you're the Chatham man who is paddling illegally across the border to find gainful employment, stop peeing on the United States. I wouldn't do that to Canada.
Yeah,
that's the only issue I have. But you know, good for him for finding a job.
Well, anyways, that's what another kayaker getting in trouble.
That's all right.
So, and then what else we got going on here? There is, we're chatting just before the beginning of the show. We got Jackson Kayak at the Whitewater World Championship.
World Championship, my friend Adrian was in that.
Yeah. Yeah. What was Adrian doing?
I don't know, flipping around in a boat and paddling real hard, and you know, doing cool Adrian Love Connect things.
Yeah. Now, I don't follow Whitewater, like, a little bit. Like, I knew it was going on. It was back 3 or 4 weeks ago. It wrapped up. It was outside of Ottawa, was on the Ottawa River, was the big gig. But the part that I thought was really interesting about it was people won. They were happy, the whole thing. The two big pieces of drama was there was a team that was trying to come from Uganda, and Canadian government wouldn't give them visas to it, for fear that they were going to I don't know why, claim sanctuary or something here. Anyway, so their visas were denied. They weren't allowed in the country. And there was a big social media uproar, and a bunch of other, all the other competitors all got together and were lobbying. Anyway, so they let them in. So that was a big, everybody was excited about that. Yay, three people here.
Three people. Way better than that Rio de Janeiro thing.
Yeah.
So the Ugandan team came in. How'd they do? Do we know?
I don't know.
They won because they were able to show up.
Yeah, that's true.
So that's good.
But the part that I thought was the most interesting, at least to me, you know, who doesn't really follow it, was the fact that the top men and the top women, the first, second, third, all six of them were all paddling Jackson kayaks.
Okay.
So this is what got me thinking is why is it that Jackson kayaks are so much better, or is it a case that they're savvy enough to pick out the best? Or is it a case that nobody who's that competitive wants to paddle anybody else?
Yeah, all,
what's the story?
All good questions. Analyze and let me state for the record, in case you don't know, I work for Piranha Kayaks, the finest of whitewater kayaks in the known universe. It's an interesting question that you pose to me, sir, because I have to step away from my biases on these. You know, obviously, Jackson Kayaks, owned by EJ, they're our biggest competitor when it comes to whitewater. And I think they probably say the same thing, that we're their biggest competitor. You know, I'm not a playboater guy. I like watching them flip around, but you know, then I get vertigo and I kind of want to eat popcorn and drink a beer. I think that you hit it. So if you look at their big playboat versus our big playboat right now, there's probably some very, very, very nuanced differences that I'm sure the competitors will say, oh, it's night and day. But right. For a schlub like me, who, you know, can barely do a stern squirt half the time, you know, on purpose, I mean, you know, I don't find a huge, huge difference in the two boats for the normal paddler, but I'm not a competitor in this. So
right. When they're at that elite level, they know.
Yeah. Yeah. Like now I know that our guys, obviously our team paddlers, love our Jed. You know, the Jed is everything they want, and you know, they're very hands on in how it's designed and things like that. So, you know, it's very popular with our guys, and obviously with EJ's guys and gals is what I mean. Obviously, they're gonna be really excited about EJ's boat. I think that EJ being a former competitor, and you know, you could arguably say he's still a competitor in a lot of ways. I think he understands that mindset quite a bit, and I think people, you know, top athletes are drawn to him. So he's going to have that sort of street cred and that pull to get some of the best paddlers in the world. And he's also, I think, probably going to inspire them to greatness, probably a little more than we do. Where our forte lies, and I can speak intelligently on this, where our forte lies in creating whitewater boats specifically is that we make the best creek boats out there. Now, and of course, you can argue, well, the burn doesn't lie. The burn is the weapon of choice for a lot of creek boaters out there. And the Demshits boys, who are, you know, sort of our unofficial but a very official team, they're all rocking the burn, and they're out and doing really sick stuff that most people don't even want to draw pictures of. So they go out there, you know, our guys, Dave Vasili, will go out there and he'll get in and he'll, you know, he'll paddle his little heart out, but that's not what he practices 24 hours a day.
Right.
You know, whereas these competitors, they know this is what they want and they're going to work extra hard. Dave is going to go out there, have a good time. He's going to work hard at it, but also his heart's in creaking and that's what he wants to do. Okay. So, you know, I think the boats, you could argue that the boats might be nuanced to the point where, their boat is better than our boat, or our boat is better than their boat. But ultimately, I think it's the athletic ability and the sport focus that EJ brings.
That's probably a big thing. I remember there was in Ottawa, and I grew up, there was a university, Carleton University, that had a terrible football team. And they could never get over that hurdle because nobody who was really good wanted to go to Carleton, which would have helped them out quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's almost like that. This is the reverse of that, where it's like people who are super competitive would be like, okay, well, I'm going to go with the other cool kids.
Right, right.
You know, and I'll stay with them because they're competitive, not so much that the boat is better. I guess they like it better, but.
Yeah. And they're gonna, and that's okay. You know? Yeah, it's almost a self-fulfilling prophecy. You know, you get the team and then the boat works out. And so more people want to join the team. So you have a better selection group to be able to draw from.
Right. Right.
So, but you know what? Congratulations to everybody who did it though. EJ Boat or other, Jackson Boat or otherwise, man, good for you guys. That's getting more and more competitive every second. And those guys are really good athletes. So good for them.
Yeah. So yeah, it's pretty cool. I got another news story.
You have more news stories. I love it.
Yeah.
I do.
This one's a short one.
No, that's okay. Cause it will make it long. I can't help it.
So. Yeah, we definitely will. Don't worry. Yeah. We'll hyper analyze it.
Does it involve the black arts?
It involves sharks.
It keeps with our tradition. By the way, in case kids, you haven't noticed, I have a book review for this week and it might involve the black arts.
So shark bites leg of surf kayaker in Australia.
You know what?
But this guy's pretty hardcore.
No, we've got to do something about the shark thing. This is getting ridiculous. Is there a way we could kill all sharks?
Oh, yeah. They're useless. We all know
that. Yeah. They're apex predators running around the sea being, oh, look at me. I can bite people when I want. That's ridiculous. You know what? I'm gonna start a movement against sharks.
You should.
But
I
would appreciate it if you started one for sharks. Or do you want to switch that?
Well, then it'll balance it out. We could fight. So this guy, he's off Sydney's coast. 65-year-old man was out surf skiing. Dave Quinlivian.
Quinlivian.
Yeah, let's go with that.
I'm going with he's not listening. It doesn't matter. Let's call him Fred Mertz. What do I care? Well, the guy's 65 years old and living in Australia. He got his foot bit off.
No, he didn't get a bit. He got bit. Okay, so he's surf skiing, and a shark bumps his boat, knocks him in the water. He's flailing, which, remember last time we talked about flailing is not great.
You don't. You poke him in the friggin' eye.
In the eye,
yeah. Cold, dark, dull eye.
He made a lot of mistakes.
Yeah. He didn't listen to the podcast.
So he falls in the water, and he gets bit in the leg. But here's the best part. As the quote was from John Thompson.
See, a name we can pronounce.
Yeah, exactly. A good old North American name.
Wow.
He was standing on the beach, watches this thing happen.
Yeah.
He said he had lost his paddle, but was able to climb back in the surf ski and catch a wave into shore.
No.
Where emergency crews could help him.
I take it all back. This guy is bad.
He climbs back onto the surf ski. He hand paddles it around to get in and surfs it into shore and goes, "Hey, mates, look at me leg."
That's what you got for an accent.
That's the extent of my...
Luckily, there was no good A and shrimp on the Barbie on that one. So I can only imagine in your hobo eyes, he gets out, "Oh, I have another shrimp on the Barbie. Good day, mates. It looks like I've been bitten on the leg."
So yeah, so it was pretty hardcore. But it's not too often that... boats or sharks are going off surf skis, but now they are.
They're hungry. They're hungry little devils.
All that press they're getting, they need to live up to their
Where's name. The orca when you need him?
Yeah, I know it.
Farewell and adieu to you, fair Spanish ladies. That's what we need. We need that guy. We need Quinn. Damn it. Where is he? Where is he when we need him? I'll get your shark for you. You pay me the money, Mayor, and I'll get your shark for you. That would be so good if the two tough guys, he went out there, Quinn went out there, and this guy, Fred Mertz, John
Dave Quinlivian.
Quinlivian. They both went out there. That's where I saw the beady-eyed bastard out there. Well, he got me that again.
All he's got is a stump and a wooden stick.
Yeah. What's the wooden stick for?
The end of his leg.
Oh, I see. It's called a peg leg.
Peg leg. I couldn't think of it until all of a sudden you just said it. I was like, peg leg would have been better.
I like your descriptive nature of it. He's got a stump and a stick. stick where? Just because in my mind he was just holding the stick like sort of an Igor kind of thing in Young Frankenstein, where he's walking around with the stick, a little tiny little stick, because he's got a stumpy leg.
Yeah,
but no, you actually put it on the leg, which is, you know, good.
Yeah, so there we go. Yeah, so anyways, he comes back in. He was airlifted, and last he was in stable condition with a serious injury.
What?
No word on whether he's been back out paddling. This happened last week.
I think he's done enough paddling, my friend. Yeah.
I'm going to tell you right now that if a shark was to bit me, I would not be surfing inshore.
No, I'd be.
But he is on a surf ski, so surfing does come natural.
Do you know what I've been doing since last podcast?
What?
Practicing jamming my thumb into a dime size opening.
Just in case.
I wake up with night terrors, just jabbing my thumb.
Your wife's like, stop
yeah,
it.
Yeah, Lisa gets all mad. Why are you jamming your thumb at me?
It's my ear.
And then I look at her and say, because they've got doll eyes. Speedy little shark, cold doll eyes. Oh. I love that guy. Man, I wish I was him. I'll get you shark for you, Mayor.
Yeah. So I got a new project I've been working on.
Oh, okay.
I've been working on a kayaking songbook.
A kayaking songbook.
So here's my problem. Okay. I know all these songs, yes, but I only know the first line.
Okay. That, now, are you writing like new songs?
No, are you crazy? Okay. I'm not creative.
So this is just going to be like the David Johnston one-line kayaking songbook.
No, so what? I'm sick of only knowing like the first two lines of any song.
Give me one.
So I went online. I've started collecting some of my favorite classy songs. Okay. So far, I've got the first couple of verses and a chorus. That's what I'm doing. Because I figure, you know, I'm not going to sing you the entire song. But if I can get through the verse and a chorus, it'll be worth it.
Okay.
So I got some Kenny Rogers the Gambler.
On a warm
summer's and it can't be, you know, really good music here. This is paddling songs.
Wait. On a warm summer's evening in a train bound for nowhere, I met up with a gambler. We were both too tired to sleep. So mm-hmm. we took mm-hmm. turns of staring.
Yep. Out of the window at darkness, the boredom overtook us, and he began to speak.
He said, son, I've made a lifetime out of reading people's faces, knowing what the cards were by the way they held their eyes. Now, that's not me looking at the internet, kid.
It's me looking at the internet.
Yeah, are you crazy? But it's not me, baby. I grew up on that stuff right there. That is some good old Michigan hometown learning.
So that's my first hit so far. I've got.
Give me another one.
So here's my plan. I'm going to take these songs. I'm going to shrink them down to like a 3-point font. Then I'm going to laminate them, and I can have them on my deck, and I can subtly sing these songs as when Eric Ogard and I go paddling together.
Okay, so...
Okay, so I've got some, wait, I got some Kenny.
Wait, back up. 3-point font?
Well, maybe 3.5.
Okay, do you realize the demographic that we're working with here? 40,
I'm planning on selling. This is for me.
Because I was going to say, 40 to 60-year-old white males can't see their hand in front of their face. And you are going for the, let's put it on the size of a pin or on the head of a pin and see if anyone can read it. You know what you'll get? That's it. That's all the singing you'll get. True. All right.
Yeah, you need a really quality quality laser printer to print it out. So then I'm kicking it off. I got two other tunes that I'm working on right now. Air Supply, All Out of Love.
I'm so lost without you. I know you were right, believing for so long. I'm all out of love. What am I without you?
And then Air Supply, Even the Nights Are Better.
Nights are better without you.
Everyone really hits home.
You know, and that was actually sort of a Neil Diamond singing it.
It is. It was quite good. I enjoyed that.
Yeah. So you've got three songs in your songbook.
No, I got a four. Okay. Suspicious Minds from Elvis.
We're caught in a trap.
Which is my favorite Elvis song. And a little fun fact. I one time tried to convince my wife that we needed to work this into our wedding vows.
Okay.
But she didn't go for it.
You can't leave me hanging. Because I love you too much, baby. Why can't you see?
Don't you think how awesome it would be, her walking down the aisles to this song? It'd be so good. It's got such a great beat.
What's to me? Only if you had an Asian Elvis.
That's true.
Oh, no. Asian Elvis, too trite. An Austrian Elvis only knows English from Elvis songs.
So far I've got four. I'm expanding this out,
you know.
So I need some ideas from people. So if people got good songs, but A, I need to know it, and B, it has to be cheesy.
Oh, okay.
It's pretty high standards.
Suspicious Minds is not cheesy.
No, but it's good though. So it meets the first cut.
But does it have to be catchy? What are we doing? I mean, does it have to meet a cadence requirement?
Well, you can't sing like, you know, "Nothing Compares to You" by Sinead O'Connor. I mean, that's hardly a good paddling song.
First of all, it's just not a good song. Let's face facts.
Let's get beyond that argument. I mean, it's, you know, you can't, but at the same time, like, "Row, row, row your boat." I mean, no, like, you know, it's got to be.
May I offer you one?
Yeah.
Sinead O'Connor, Shania Twain.
Okay.
"Damn, I Feel Like a Woman," or whatever it is.
Oh, yeah. That could be good.
Bump. Ba-da-da-da-dum-dum. You could just start it off by "Let's go, girls." Ba-da-da-da-dum-dum.
Yeah.
And she's Canadian. How could you not like that?
That keeps the Canadian content up.
Yeah.
So.
Because you haven't, have you picked any Canadian songs yet?
Well, no, I started with the best.
Okay.
Then,
what about,
then I'm getting to the rest.
Now do you like the folk event or bent on it? Do you want to do any, is that too trite for you? Like Stan Rogers? You don't want to do any Stan Rogers?
I can do some Stan Rogers. Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Let me start with this first. I've literally put 10 minutes into this project.
Oh, okay.
So it's not like I'm doing a song at night.
So it's not like I've got this big – you started it off by saying I got this this huge plan. And what you should have said is, hey, here's a thought. There's a huge difference in that, David.
Okay. Eric and I have been talking about building this for at least 5 years.
I don't know that Ogard knows any songs that don't involve pillaging villages.
So every time we get into a singing mood, we are both terrible because we don't know the same songs,
right.
And of the songs we know different parts. So,
see, I think that would be great. You could sing the first part. You could sing the second. There's got to be some great songs that you could cheesy, huh? Though.
Yeah. Well, things that would be popular at karaoke. That's kind of the way that I think about it. Anyway, so it's a, let's call it a medium term length project that I'm going to work on.
Okay, medium term. Okay.
Yeah. No, instead of long term, right. You know, I don't want to work on it. It's not like a thesis or anything.
Should be.
I just need to look up 7 songs and laminate
7?
Them. Done.
That is 7 does not constitute a book.
Well, what am I going to do? Put together 40
yes.
songs?
Yes, if you went the extra mile for our fans, you would.
Okay.
Yeah, 40 songs. 40 songs is what we're looking for. Kids at home, kayakmainline@gmail.com. Send us in your songs. You don't even have to have the words.
Okay.
We'll figure out the words. Okay,
right.
I'm sorry. David will figure out the words. I probably
know the internet well. I just do a quick search. Done.
You
man, if I did it, we wouldn't get any further.
No, man, you really don't go the extra mile. You barely get off the couch for some reason.
Okay, let's talk about the guy who was shooting the guy in the bus.
Yes.
I want you to know that I actually did some research last week.
What? You know how you did the research? With the black arts.
Out of guilt, because I knew we were going to be recording again, and I knew you'd probably bring something
up. The black arts. You know what I thought of, too, before we started recording? I wasn't going to bring it up, and now you brought it up.
What did I bring up? Oh, the guy who got shot?
We were just talking about
it. I already forgot.
Yeah. Hey, by the way, David, don't forget to make that music book that you wanted to make. Do I have to make you a to-do list?
Yeah, yeah. I did a bit of research, and found out that there is, I'm just picking up the dog off the floor here.
You got a dog in your hands now.
Yeah, yeah. She's tapping around. Anyway, so yeah, I did some research.
Does that constitute an interview?
No, because I couldn't figure out who.
No, with your dog.
Okay. Yeah, all right. Okay. She doesn't talk back.
Good. Best dog in the world.
It's about a one-way conversation. I did some research. I found out that they never actually charged the two people who were in the canoe who shot the guy in the boat.
Okay.
Because they never pressed charges. So there's no court record.
Oh, I think it was hushed. It was hushed up.
I think so.
By an immoral government.
Yeah, we can thank Obama for this.
Yeah, let's blame him.
Yeah. So yeah, that's what I was able to determine because there's no court case. It never did go to court. It looks like that the cases were dropped. This whole thing happened 5 years ago, so I'm presuming that it would have floated through court if it was now. But I was able to find the guy who got shot.
Yeah.
I was able to track down where he lived, and I found his marriage license online.
Really?
Yeah.
Is he still happily married?
Apparently.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah. I looked for a divorce paperwork, but there was nothing.
Where does he live, dare I ask?
Southern Florida.
You did some hard-hitting research on this, I can tell.
Yeah.
Is that about 4 square miles?
Southern Florida. Trip. I better show, So anyways, I was able to get something sorted out.
So guys at home, if you want to send your cards and letters to the man who got shot in the butt, to random dude who got shot in the butt, care of Southern Florida. I'm sure they'll be able to find it. You know, Santa Claus is able to do it. Why can't you?
Yeah. Yeah.
Good for you.
Yeah. I got one last really cool story that I found.
Bring it.
Week. Yeah. And I'm really excited. That's why I left the best for last.
Okay.
And I think it's super cool. So they, what do we got? You can now paddle around the southern tip of Malaysia. The shoreline has been fully documented for Street View.
Very.
And you know how they did it? How? They paddled around in a kayak.
No.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. So they, this over a period of 6 months, this time last year, they did the whole southern peninsula of Malaysia, and it was sponsored by the Malaysian Nature Society, and they did a paddle for nature project. And so they found a paddler, and he paddled the 2,000 kilometers of coastline over 6 months. And so they rigged up the camera street view thing on the back of his kayak, okay. Sea kayak. And it had, they put little pontoons on the side so he wouldn't tip over.
Cool.
And he paddled around it. Did the whole coastline.
Very cool.
It's super cool.
I want that job.
Yeah, and I'm like, how did they do it in Malaysia first?
That was Malaysians. They're an industrious people. I bet they'd already have a songbook. I bet that guy had a songbook. He was just rocking out to REO Speedwagon.
I bet that guy also knew all the lyrics to I'm All Out of Love.
Let's face facts. If you're paddling around the scorched coastline of Malaysia.
So I thought, how cool if they've, because I know about a year ago I was chatting with a friend thinking, man, we need to do something to get like that on Superior. Because they've started doing some hiking trails and they've done, where else they did, so they've had it on people's backs and cars and boats and now they did in kayaks in Malaysia.
When you say they, you mean Google.
Google.
Yeah,
not they.
Because they're always doing wacky stuff like that.
Yeah.
I think that. I think we should petition Google.
Yeah.
Google, if you're listening, and we know you are, because you're practitioners of the black arts.
Yeah.
I think that you should probably pay.
How cool would it them to like kayak along the whole Pictured Rocks?
Oh, that would be so good. That would be so good. The problem is that we'd get shot at. We'd get shot in the butt. Because the right. People up in Lake Superior, they don't want a lot of people to realize how cool that place is. Because,
right.
You know, then people will show up. And then that ruins the entire dynamic.
Yeah. Well, the one thing I did discover with this footage, because I stared at a bunch of it and traveled along, is the dog's like sounds like she's dying now. She's walking away. He was really offshore for quite a way, so it's hard to see a lot of interesting things. You know, because he's offshore.
Mm.
You know, a quarter of a mile out, so it's shoreline's hard to see.
Yeah, but they did it. They did it.
Yeah, but that's the cool part.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can just travel along the whole stretch. Yeah. So anyways, that's that.
Now, did they say who it was? Was it
it was nobody I knew.
In my conspiracy world, they sent some sort of white dude to Malaysia to do it. They couldn't find like some eager Malaysian guy who's really kick-ass at paddling. No, they had to send some white dude to do it.
Oh, no. Sorry. This is definitely a local person who did it.
Good.
I can't even pronounce it.
Don't worry. That's cool. Because he'll be famous soon enough and it won't be from our podcast. That's pretty cool.
It's pretty cool. So they did it, and you can now see it. So it took them 6 or 7 months to process all the footage and throw that stuff up.
So southern tip of Malaysia, now fully Google-fied.
Yep.
Is that a word? Can I use it? I think I can. I read the Google book. I think that's a usable word there, Google-fied. So, yeah, if we could do that with Superior, that would be cool.
Yeah.
That
would be cool.
I don't know.
Because you could just follow real close, and you could do it all along.
Yeah.
So they did little stretches so you can see like when he pulls out of a beach, goes down 10 or 12 miles, pulls in at the end of the day, and it's kind of in and out all the way along.
Mm-hmm.
So
I like that, in and out all day long. the black arts.
Yeah. Yes. So anyways, that's my news.
That is some fabulous news, my friend. That is a crowd pleaser. I got to be honest with you.
Yeah. I read this. I was like, holy moly, that's awesome they did in a kayak.
All right. Well, David, that was some fine, fine news reporting, and I look forward each and every time to see what comes across the David Johnston news desk. You are probably the best kayak news reporter in the known world.
There's it's stiff competition.
Yeah. Well, but you are head and shoulders above the rest. So that works. So all right. We didn't talk about this, but I want to talk about it. So what books have you read? I got a book review and I'm very excited about it.
It's, yeah, why don't you tell me what you're going
to
read?
It's probably a book you've already read. I feel like you've suggested this to me. It's a book called Stormfront.
No, tell me.
What?
No.
And it's the series of books are the Harry Dresden Files.
Oh, okay. Go on.
So if I can sort of take your mind on a little jaunt, and mind you, these are not hard-hitting books, okay?
No, okay.
But I read the first one, and I was so excited about reading the first one that I actually read the second one today.
Okay.
So the deal is, if you like hard-boiled detectives,
okay,
and you like fantasy magic, put them together.
Who's the author of it?
Yes.
Yes is the author?
I don't know the author's name. Oh. I should know the author's name, but I don't know the author's name.
Okay. That's okay.
And we can look that up. But anyway, yeah, you can look it up while you're on your thundering keyboard while I'm talking about it if you want.
Yeah.
So the deal is this guy is a wizard in Chicago.
Okay.
And the normal population does not know that all these fanciful things that go bump in the night are real.
Okay.
But he does, because he's a wizard.
Ooh.
And so you know, it sounds all campy and hokey and things like that, and indeed it is. But what's cool about it is the guy unapologetically marries the sort of fantasy nonsense of you know, like trolls living in places and fairies and vampires and stuff like that with the hard-boiled detective.
Okay.
And so there are people who kind of get that there are supernatural things out there. There's true believers who believe in supernatural stuff. And then there are people who are complete skeptics. And he has to deal with them throughout his investigation. And he's the only one who knows that all of this stuff is real, who is still part of the quote-unquote mortal world.
Okay.
Now, the reason why I like this book so much is, first of all, it's a really easy read, and it's a fun read. And again, they're unapologetic in what they're doing with it. So they know it's campy. They know it's fun.
Right.
And they're just running with it. And it's read like a 1940s, you know, sort of Mike Hammer, or not Mike, yeah, that Hammer guy, but you know, Richard Diamond, that kind of notion. But it is in the modern day world,
right?
So he does make some really good reference, like he made a Buckaroo Banzai reference, which is one of my favorite movies of all time. If you haven't seen it, you probably should.
Okay.
He actually makes some callbacks to Richard Rogue, which is one of my favorite 1940s, 50s radio detective stories.
Okay.
So, yeah, it's just a lot of fun. So that is my book of the week right there, Stormfront. And a friend of mine on the fire department suggested it to me, and I wouldn't have expected this guy to be reading such silly tripe as that. And yet he even said it's campy, it's ridiculous. A buddy of mine made me read it, and I was hooked, and he's got like 15 books now, and I just can't wait to read the next one.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, I'm totally, I'm going to check that out. So what's the title again?
Stormfront.
Stormfront.
The nice. Harry Dresden Files.
Okay. Okay.
So what Very you got? Cool. You got a book?
Yeah, I just finished reading this a little while ago. It's by Lisa Schroeder. Schroeder. Yes. All We Have Is Now.
Okay.
That's the name of the title. And it came out a couple of years ago, but it's a great young adult book. But so here's the premise: is they know that a meteorite is coming, and they've known, and it's going to blow up North America, and they've known it for 16 months, and now it's down to the last 36 hours.
Okay.
So what do they do? And it's just it's a really cool story about these two. It's at the center of the story of our two kids who live on the street, and they, it's all about the last 36 hours or so, and before the end comes, and it's their kind of, how do we deal with the whole, everything's going to fall apart? And then they interact with a bunch of different people, and they go with this idea, and it comes out early in the thing that they decide to try to make different people's wishes come true. You know, people have these regrets, and it's a really cool story, and it's kind of centers around this apocalypse, but it's not about the violence of an apocalypse, like people who aren't into that, but it's still kind of the end times are coming, and they deal with different adults and all these different people's reaction to it. Yeah, it's a great great book. I saw a good review on it. It's a little sad at the end, of course, but it's still pretty cool. So it's by.
So can we assume that that is the spoiler alert that at the last moment the meteor doesn't veer off into the sun or something like that?
We don't know. We're not quite sure.
Okay,
I can't give that away. But all we have is now, and so yeah. So it's kind of all. It's about living in the moment.
So interesting question. What would you do? 36 hours left. What would you do?
I don't know. I mean, yeah, because you kind of think, like, would everybody just, like, completely panic or what would happen? I'm not sure.
Oh, yeah, people would completely panic.
Yeah, yeah.
The churches and bars and brothels would be full.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I will say that. So
all my apocalypse literature has shown that to be the case.
Yes, exactly. That's first step, brothel. Actually, it might be brothel, then church, then bar. But I'm not sure. I honestly would not go to either, any of them.
Right.
If I had 36 hours to live, I'd, you know what I'd do? I'd have a nice steak. That sounds
good. Yeah. Okay.
And sit with my family and hang out a bit.
Okay.
Yeah.
That would be, that'd be all right. That's really, I'd probably hang out with family.
Yeah. You'd hang out with my family?
Lock the door. Yeah. I'd come down and visit your family.
That would be nice.
Ditch my
I would love to see that.
You're terrible.
Yeah. You know what I wouldn't do?
Yeah.
Is I wouldn't answer my phone.
No.
No, I have nothing to say to anybody. Everybody I want to talk to really in the last 36 hours of my life are probably in my house right now.
Right.
So,
you know what I'm working through? I'm halfway through right now. It's a great book for people who are into zombies. It's called When There's No More Room in Hell, Part 1 by Luke Duffy.
Okay.
Here's the thing. It's guys in Iraq. The zombie apocalypse hits and they need to – it's all centered in Iraq with a zombie apocalypse.
Wow.
Nice.
How do they deal with it?
Well, I'm only like a third of the way through it, so they've got to try to get out of it. And so it's like now they're dealing with like insurgents who are trying to kill them and zombies, and and then other people who were insurgents are now their friends. So there's a hook. There's a whole plot line in Iraq, and then there's another subplot line that takes place in the UK. So it's an interesting zombie book that's very different than like 90% of the stuff's out there. That's all like the typical North American focused.
That'd be interesting. Because I figure if I'm living in Iraq and the zombie apocalypse hits, I'm just walking out in the desert.
One guy makes a comment. He's like, it doesn't seem a lot different than what it is now.
Yeah, exactly. Like, oh, look, there's a bunch of mobby people attacking other mobby people. So Jim Butcher, by the way, is the author of Stormfront.
Oh, very cool.
So, yeah. Put that in your pipe and smoke it. And for the next couple of weeks, I think I'm going to be reading these books. I'm sort of hooked.
Nice.
So
I'm gonna have to check that out as well.
Yeah, it makes me very, very happy. It's sort of brings me back to my childhood, which is very nice. So
cool.
But I like this this 36 hours. What do you do and make wishes come true? I don't think I would have the energy to make people's wishes come true. Maybe my kids.
Yeah.
You know. Good deal. Well, anything else you got for me?
No, that's it.
You and I are hopefully. I haven't heard the final word from your boss, but hopefully we'll be seeing each other at the Gales in November. Or I'm sorry, the Gales, a storm gathering, different event, up in Munising, Michigan, which is fabulous. I think that's the only big thing happening.
Yeah, it's pretty quiet on the home front for me.
Yeah, it's sort of getting the kids. I mean, you and I are married guys, and we got kids who are going off to school and stuff like that. So yeah, it's been pretty quiet for me. I am teaching I'm teaching a stand-up paddling course. But other than that, you know, just Gales all the way here coming up.
That's awesome.
So, yeah, that's what I got. You got anything else?
No, I'm all done.
All right. So, ladies and gentlemen, this has been yours, the 16th?
Yeah,
16th consecutive episode of Kayak Mainline. And, you know, like I said, 14 was confiscated by the government, both our governments. I'm not pointing any fingers. Due to our use of the black arts.
And it was a rare joint event.
It really was. There was a subcommittee that did it. So hope you enjoyed what you heard tonight. And if you didn't, hey, no skin off our nose. We're just a couple of guys standing around a sweaty microphone in 90-degree weather here. That's what I got. You got anything?
No, I'm all done.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much for listening to the 16th edition of Kayak Mainline. This is Kelly Blades.
And I'm David Johnston.
And we are out.
We're caught in a trap. I can't walk down. suspicious mind. And we can't build a dream on suspicious mind. So if an old friend I know, somebody say hello.